podcast that will help us understand our health better. I'll talk to experts who will demystify topics like stress, fertility, nutrition, and much more as we take steps to become the healthiest version of ourselves. Since being diagnosed with cancer in my 30s, I made it my priority to educate myself on my health. I discovered creating healthy habits and investing in yourself can lead to wonderful things. I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by ReproMed. ReproMed understands how daunting it can be to navigate your fertility journey, so it's their mission to put their patients at the center of everything they do. Their world-class team of specialists offer the expertise, empathy, and compassionate care needed to relieve your concerns and guide your decisions. With clinics in Galway, Dublin, Drogheda, and Kilkenny, they are never far away and will do all they can to help you start your family. Check out repromed.ie for more. Hello, I hope you are well and enjoying your week so far. I have been looking around recently for a new healthy habit. So I usually introduce a new healthy habit around once every 3 or 4 months. Although I must admit my last healthy habit that I introduced was back in October when I introduced cold showers. And I do have to get back into my cold showers, but I have been looking around for a new healthy habit. So feel free to drop me a message over on Instagram at georgie.crawford and give me any suggestions you might have. I know lots of you listen to this podcast while you're out walking or cooking the dinner. And to be honest, it's just so nice to keep you company while you do those wonderful things. So thank you so much. The Good Glow Wellness Program was launched this week. We are so thrilled seeing everyone complete the modules and making their way through the course. And the feedback has just been so incredible. So thank you so much. We are so excited to go on this journey over the next while. And as I said, it's not a live course, so you can start this course whenever you feel like it and do it in your own time. Today, I am joined by a very special lady. She has become a friend of mine over the last couple of years. Her name is Sinead Dehora. She's an intuitive specialist and a healer. She specializes in alternative and holistic health. Sinead is such a wonderful person. She speaks to me today about trusting your gut, and that is something that I have done since the day I was diagnosed with cancer. I have trusted my gut every day since. So I speak about this a little bit in my corporate talks, how, you know, I felt like in the lead up to me finding a lump in my breast that my body was screaming at me and giving me all the signs that something was wrong, but I chose to ignore those signs. So we get into that a little bit today. I hope you will enjoy this episode and get something from it. I know I certainly did. So let's get into it. Sinead, I am so thrilled that we are sitting down today on the Good Glow Health to have this gorgeous conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I know you and I could talk for Ireland, so I'm so excited to see what comes through today.
Yeah, it feels like a full circle moment, doesn't it? Because I don't know if you remember, Sinead, the last time we were together was, I think, 3 days before there was a lockdown. We were in Kildare Village. It's the last time I've been in a room full of people. You came along and you spoke at a little show that I was doing there. And I just remember the energy in the room was amazing and people were really lapping up everything you were saying. So to have you on the podcast now, a year later, is just such an honor for me.
Oh, thank you so much. And for feeling called to share this message, it's such an important message of connecting with our intuition and coming back to your truth. You're the best version of you. So thank you for opening up this channel, for allowing me to share my passion and purpose. So thank you so much.
Sinead, I even think since I had that chat with you last year that I have come to understand intuition even more over the last year. Maybe that's because I've had more time to kind of reflect and sit in my garden and just slow down and really get back that connection with myself. But you're going to tell us a little bit today about intuition and what it is. And just for anyone listening who doesn't have a clue, could you just tell us a little bit about what it actually is.
Absolutely. Well, I love what you just said there, even you're connecting more with your intuition as you have time. And that is how we access that, is through an awareness. Your intuition, and I actually wrote this piece when I channeled this energy that I can read out. It's my kind of explanation and interpretation of what intuition means. And to me, intuition means your ability to see the truth. It is your ability to look within and connect with your heart's desires, to make your heart's desires your true reality. It's your compassion, your empathy for and love for yourself and others. It's your inner knowing and inner compass guiding you on your life's journey. Your intuition is your passion, your purpose, and your desires, your connection with life, nature, universe, and the angels. It's your inner knowing that you are abundant, you are connected with source, and you can be or do anything that your heart desires because you finally remember that you are limitless. And I think that text even just sums it up, that you are limitless and your intuition is your true divine purpose, your inner light, your inner knowing, your inner internal compass, like I say, that will guide you wherever you need to go.
So Sinead, when people speak about, you know, trusting their gut or connecting with their soul, that's your intuition.
Yes. Connecting with, as you said, that awareness, connecting with your gut instinct. And it's really important. It's a fine line here because quite often, and this is one thing I work a lot with one-on-one and with my clients with, is how to distinguish between the ego versus the intuition. Because our ego has had the microphone for so long. Our ego has had the microphone, especially in a fast-paced society, especially in the world we live in now, where we're constantly being bombarded with so much information that we can sometimes forget that the most powerful information that we have is within inside of us. So this is something that I love to talk about and teach about, is how to distinguish between the ego and the intuition, because the intuition is what's really going to deeply guide you, your gut instinct, your inner knowing. And often we can really kind of get into a habit of suppressing that or ignoring that and going down the path of our ego anyway. But every time we do that, we'll always be redirected back to our intuition, our first initial instinct, because it's our instincts that will always take us in the direction that we want to fulfill whatever need we want to fulfill.
And I was listening to a podcast that Oprah put together recently, and it's called Whispers. And she has this collection of people that come on the podcast and they speak about, you know, their soul whispering to them, or, you know, you're getting that little knock. You know, when you're quiet and still and there's a little knock, get that checked, or you need to do this, or, you know, it's your gut speaking to you. And I loved that episode because it really, it made me aware of how many whispers that we're getting. And it also made me think about before I got sick and how I kept looking in the mirror and saying I didn't recognize myself anymore. And something was telling me that something wasn't right, but I kept pushing that feeling away. I kept ignoring it until, you know, I found the lump in my breast and everything changed. But how important is it for people to become aware of that little voice and to give it respect and time and listen to it?
We have those downloads 24/7. Our body and our energy is constantly communicating with us. And that's why, again, you hear often stories, even what Oprah just said, connecting with the body's whispers, and you're doing a body scan, checking in with yourself all day, every day. Even when you're throughout the day, just checking in with yourself to see how you're feeling, to see how your energy levels are. As you said, just looking at yourself and giving yourself time to honor how you look and feel in the mirror, to notice these subtle changes. Because in different philosophies, especially in Chinese medicine, in traditional Chinese medicine, different areas of the body can relate to different emotions. And even with our chakras, when our chakras are off balance, our chakras are energy points in the body, they can communicate. And you don't have to be aware of what the actual terminology represents. It's just about having a deep understanding of your body and what it's saying to you. So, for example, if we've got a twinge in our knees or a pain in our knees, it might be stemmed from a physical ache or pain, or it could be just a way to remind you to slow down and surrender, or to let go, or to stop and take time to connect. And these little adjustments that our body makes, these little whispers, are constantly giving you direction of where you need to go. I actually wrote this phrase on Instagram a few weeks ago, saying that sometimes that butterfly in your stomach hasn't been nerves. It's been a true sign that your intuition is saying, don't do it. don't go down that path. But we won't really recognize that voice if we don't give it room to speak and understand the connection that it makes, that under connection that it wants to speak to us.
Mm. And Sinead, how did you get into all of this? I mean, it's such a gorgeous job and you get to connect with all these wonderful people all over the world. And before COVID, you were traveling to these exotic destinations and holding workshops. Tell us about your journey to this.
Oh, how do I make a long story short, Dorothy? I've always been connected since I could talk. So I had what was known at the time, imaginary friends when I was growing, when I was like 3, 4, 5. But to this day, they're still my imaginary friends. And now I call them spirit guides. So I've always had them around me. And actually, they've been completely validated by numbers of different healers, mediums, psychics around the world. And they describe them to a T. So I know I'm not crazy. I know they're real. But I've always had that gift. And I've always had a gift of just knowing things. That's my gift, my true gift of just being aware. And also being a deep empath. And growing up, I've always been what I was called, the agony aunt. Like, I'd always welcome people into my home. I'd always be the one to listen and support others. That was just who I was. And I'd always put other people's needs before my own. And that was just who I was growing up as well. Now, I have learned to set boundaries over the years, but still. And with that inner knowing, even growing up as a child, I'd be able to just say things about people. And my mom and dad would look at me going, what is going on here? But I was so blessed that they were so open-minded that they encouraged this gift of mine. So they used to really encourage my imaginary friends and talk and ask questions about them and, you know, ask their names, what they did. They'd play with imaginary friend, even though they couldn't see them. And I remember these days so vividly. And I really truly believe that it was their encouragement that sparked my gift and allowed it to become what it is. And then throughout the years, obviously, with society being the way it is, you know, I suppressed a part of that growing up in school, but I was still kind of the agony aunt, so to speak, where I still cared for and really deeply just loved everything in life. I was so blessed living right beside the sea that I grew up in nature and I was so connected that it allowed me to kind of keep my foot on that pedal, so to speak. And then all my life, I said that I either want to be a lawyer, work in a spa or have my own business. So I actually studied business law first. It's so random. But I studied business law first. And then that little voice inside, that whisper said, take a year out, Sinead, and study therapy. So when I studied therapy, I started with aromatherapy, reflexology and different modalities like that. And I always said that it was like I was learning a memory, that all of it just felt so natural for me. It just felt so embedded in who I was. And I knew this information. It didn't feel like I had to really learn. And since then, I just kept learning and I kept really strengthening that muscle. And my intuition just kept growing stronger and stronger. Then I worked in a spa. I went over to London to open the Corinthia Hotel as part of the pre-opening team. And that's when it really ignited. I think I was 21, 22. And I remember walking into the building and the building was this, it's an old, I think it was a military building. I can't remember the exact use for it, but I walked in and I started talking to this man who was sitting in one of the treatment rooms. And next minute, one of my friends came in and was like, who are you talking to? And I'm like, him, he's there. I'm like, have you not seen him before? And I didn't know that I was seeing a spirit. I had no idea. And it kind of just ignited from there. And then my treatment started to develop. I started to go into different energy modalities and lo and behold, I was pushed to set up my own business. I actually came home one day, Sean, my fiance and I just moved into our new house and I came home on a Thursday and he said, Sean, I think I'm going to set up my own business. And it was a Thursday night, we're getting into bed. He was like, yeah, that's fine. Sure, we can talk about it. What are you going to do? And I said, I'll talk to you tomorrow. That Friday, the next day I went in, handed my notice in and work and I started my own business and I've been here ever since.
Wow, Sinead, that's amazing. And I love seeing everything you're doing. You post such amazing things on Instagram. Let's talk about when we first connected because this is crazy. I tell people this sometimes. So I was on the M50. I was going down to Druids Glen to have a session with you. We didn't know each other. And when I was on the M50... For the first time in my life, I said to myself, I'd love to write a children's book. Because for me, when I think about Pia, and everything that I've learned over the last few years, I'm so excited that she lives in an environment where we practice mindfulness and we go out into nature and we practice gratitude every day. And I'm like, she's such a lucky little girl, you know, that she's surrounded by this, and hopefully it will be ingrained in her and she'll bring all of these learnings forward in her life. So I've always thought about that. And then when I was on the way to meet you, I said, I'd love to write a children's book just about, you know, self-care and how kids can look after themselves from a very young age and put themselves first and value themselves. And anyway, I went out, parked in Druids Glen, went upstairs, lay down, you came in. I think I was face down, so I didn't even see your face. And you were working on me and talking me through the energy and things that you were doing. And then you said, Georgie, have you ever thought about writing a children's book? And I said, Sinead, I had that thought for the first time in my life 20 minutes ago. How did that happen?
I actually totally forgot about that. It's so cool. I love that so much. It's just me reading energy that's coming in. So you received that download. I call them intuitive downloads. You received that download from your higher self, your highest good, from angels, from universe, from whomever you like to connect with. You received that. That was an intuitive knowing. And I always say that I'm a mirror to those in front of me, and I will just shine that light in whatever I see. I will shine it back to you, that light of whatever needs to come out. So I am downloading your insight from your highest good to share the messages to you. So that's all I was doing. I was just receiving information that was being channeled into you anyway, but you were just open enough to receive that. And yeah, that's so powerful. I actually forgot about that. It's so fun.
I was so, like, from that moment on, I was like, whoa, this is the real deal, you know? And I love the way also you're such a good friend to me. You're always kind of checking in. And if I'm going through anything, there'll always be a message in my inbox, or I'll see something on your Instagram page that gives me a little bit of motivation or encouragement. And a couple of months ago, you checked in with me and you could sense that I was busy from whatever I was putting on my stories. And you said, Georgie, be careful because you're channeling a lot of masculine energy and you need to connect with your female energy. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what that actually means?
Yes, I love this question. So everyone on the planet has a masculine and feminine energy. And the feminine energy really channels to the left-hand side of the body and the masculine at the right-hand side of the body. And when they are balanced, oh my God, we are so powerful. So the feminine energy really represents your creativity, your intuition, your empathy for yourself and others. It's your gorgeous divine flow. So when we feel like we're really in deep flow, so you know when we're in creative mode and we just feel like we're getting through things and it's just so much fun and time is non-existent, that's when we're in deep feminine flow. Now the masculine side, we need that as well. The masculine side is very much connected to your drive, your structure, achieving goals, getting things done, and taking your intuition to making it happen, making your dreams happen. So we need to have the gorgeous mix of both. However, when they are imbalanced, it's very clear to see. And what I mean by that is when our masculine energy is imbalanced, we can sometimes get moody, irritable, we can procrastinate, not feel like we're getting anything done. We can get very critical on ourselves, very judgmental on ourselves. We can have a lot of limiting beliefs and low self-sabotaging thoughts, excuse me. And when our feminine energy is imbalanced, we can become moody, and we feel like we are in comparison mode. We're comparing ourselves to others. We are not being true to ourselves. We tend to run ourselves into the ground, nearly into burnout, and we're just not having enough self-care. So when I can see this quite clearly on people when they're sharing on Instagram stories, and I don't go on to stories quite often, I'm not going to lie. I have about 4 people that I go on to their stories to look at, and you are one of them.
Oh,
and
thank you.
It's mainly people who I find that are quite uplifting and positive, because I have boundaries in who I can look at too, because you are absorbing so much energy through social media. Mm. So we have to be very careful in who we connect with and make sure that we are fueling the right energy. So I can see it quite clearly on when someone is in masculine energy mode, because we tend to, like I said, your energy just drops and you are quite direct and harsh in the approach and how you speak. And that's how we can really identify that. So that's most, I don't remember doing that as well. I'm so sorry. I don't remember saying that to you, but yeah, that's probably why I picked that up. Maybe it was, you had more of a kind of a strength energy that you need to just relax at and bring in your gorgeous feminine flow.
Yeah. And like, it's nice to be reminded of that, because I suppose I've gone from, you know, having a 9-to-5 job to running my own business and I never take a break. And I am self-critical to myself, and I am very hard on myself. So it's nice to have friends to kind of come in and give you a nudge in the right direction, or tell you to take a day off and connect with yourself again. And I love that you, I feel like you're kind of looking out for me in that way. When it comes to signs, Sinead, and I know that you're big into signs, and I asked for a sign one day when I was sitting in Spain and I was exhausted after going back to work. I'd been back in work for 7 months, and I started work at 5 a.m. So I felt like I needed to, you know, go away and try to catch up on rest. And I was in Spain and I asked for a sign because I was wondering whether to leave my job or not. And I asked for a sign and I got it, and that helped me make my decision. How important is it to ask for signs or ask the universe for help and support?
Oh, you can do it anytime you want. The universe is there. The angels are there to support you. They want to support you in every single thing that we do. And even our ancestors, and connecting with our loved ones in spirit, they want to support us. They all have the same vibration, and that is just of pure love. And their mission and kind of wish for us, if you will, is that we have the best life possible here on earth. So ask for signs. I ask for signs 24/7 and I receive them 24/7. Now, what I would say to that is challenge them as well. Like, they love to be challenged. So, and ask for a sign that's so random, and I promise you, you will receive it. But also, you might not receive the sign in the way that you desire. So, for example, a few weeks ago, I asked for a sign of a blue and yellow bird from my cousin. I just wanted guidance with something I was doing from work. And she helps me a lot with everything I do with work. She's so powerful. And she's in spirit, obviously. But with that too, I asked for a sign for a blue and yellow bird, like I said. And a day later, I didn't receive the sign. Well, I probably did, but I didn't recognize the sign. And I was looking to see an actual bird in my garden or see a picture of a bird somewhere. But I was in my kitchen and I was making lunch or making dinner or something, and I had the radio on in the background, and it was a song about a blue and yellow bird.
No way.
And I just burst out laughing. I said, oh, there it is. So spirits will try and get you to see the sign in any way that they can. So it might not be just delivered once. It'll be delivered in many ways until you recognize it. So it's up to us to open our awareness to receiving as well, because sometimes we can block that channel from coming in. We can block that energy, but we have to be open to receive. If we've asked for it, just surrender and allow the message to come in any way that it needs to.
And every time you meet someone, Sinead, are you reading them, or can you kind of turn that side off?
Oh, I turn it on and off. Oh, no, I don't. No, I turn it on and off. I used to always be turned on. I never kind of knew how to turn it off just growing up. And it was so overwhelming. And I had a lot of anxiety from that. A lot of anxiety, actually, a lot of social anxiety, where I really struggled to even leave the house at times because it was just too overwhelming. So I had to really work hard. And I think being in London and living in London for so long, I lived in London for 8 years, as you know, kind of made me have to learn how to turn it on and off, because it's so busy and there's so many people. And with that as well, I think it's really important to say, if you are an empath or you are a healer and you are not protecting your energies, it comes hand in hand with having anxiety. And I think we need to really master that. So I have really become so used to using particular techniques on how to protect your energy. And I can share one with you now, if you like.
Yes, please.
So I remember, I think I was about 6 years of age, and I was sitting on my bed, and I really need to ask my parents this, but I remember when I was about that age that I think someone was passing, or someone in the family was passing, or something was going on, and I was feeling it all as a young child connected to all kind of spirit worlds. And as I was sitting on the bed, I used to have, it was trendy at the time to have a disco ball on the ceiling. So I had a disco ball on the ceiling in my room, and a spirit. Now, actually, I've always said it was an angel that came in, but I now know it wasn't. It was a spirit guide that came in. And they said, Sinead, when you get worried or scared, imagine yourself standing in the disco ball. Because when you're in the disco ball, you're completely safe. And there's mirrors on the outside of this disco ball. So anyone that comes into your energy, whether it's positive, negative, or whatever the case may be, their energy is going to be reflected back off the mirror onto them. So you will never receive the energy and you will be truly safe and protected. And I have used that technique my entire life. And I kid you not, even if there's a low vibrational energy that I just don't want to be around, if I'm out in a social setting or whatever the case may be, I'll imagine myself in that disco ball and either the conversation will completely shift and alter or the person will walk away. It's so powerful. So that's one of the many techniques that I use.
And the other technique you use is the bottle of water. Tell us about that.
Yes, I do. Absolutely. The bottle of water technique. I use elements for everything. So again, being an empath and being highly connected, water is such a powerful energy for cleansing and grounding. So I tend to hold a bottle of water if I'm in a meeting or in a situation where there's, again, a lot of people. I'll have a half empty or half full, whatever your perspective is, a full bottle of water in front of my solar plexus. The solar plexus being a chakra at the top of your abdomen. And why I do that is because I'll set an intention for that bottle of water to either absorb energy that I don't need to hold in my body or absorb energy from the other so I don't receive that energy. And it'll be right in front of the solar plexus to protect my energy from not being drained by the person I'm in front of, or by me not giving too much away, or all of the above, actually. But it's such a powerful tool to use the elements. So I'm making sure that my body is not absorbing or giving away too much energy. So, and I also do that in the shower as well. So in the morning time, I will imagine that the water from the shower is white light and it's flowing in the top of my head, all the way down my body, cleaning my energies, cleaning my chakras, and removing that energy down my feet into the earth to be recycled. And again, even after I do treatments and I'm doing hands-on work, after before and after every single treatment, I will do the same thing where I'll put my wrists under freezing cold water and I'll imagine all the energy that I've just absorbed come out of my hands and into the earth. So I'm not absorbing, I'm using the elements constantly to release, cleanse, and keep me aligned.
I've never even considered doing that, but I definitely will going forward. So what you're saying basically is that throughout the day, just say you've been to a meeting and it's really stressful, or you're sitting beside somebody in work who's bitching about somebody, you can go and clean your energy and kind of renew yourself.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a sec. With everything going on in my life at the moment, I'm honoured to team up with ReproMed this season. I've learned more about ReproMed and what they do over the past couple of years. They pride themselves in taking a personal interest in your care, regardless of where you are on your fertility journey. ReproMed.ie is packed full of information on TSI, IUI, IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and more. A consultation with their team, which you can book on ReproMed.ie, will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a supportive, honest environment. Now, back to my conversation.
Yes. Well, our bodies are like Velcro. So think of our energy like we have this Velcro patch all over our body and we are absorbing, taking in, completely being, what's the word I'm looking for? Completely just taking in and absorbing all of the energy that we're surrounded by. So we have to clean our energies as much as we wash our face. We need to clean our energies the same amount of time because we are absorbing so many people's energy. And there's this actually meditation technique that I use that I'm happy to share if you like. And it's how to call back in your energy you've given away. Would you like me to go through it?
Yes, I would absolutely love that.
Right. Well, let's do it now. It's a technique again, if you felt that you've given so much of your energy away or that your energy has been pulled or taken away, let's do this technique now. So why don't we just close our eyes if it's safe to do so and just sit with your back straight and have your head, your chin, excuse me, parallel to the floor so that your crown chakra, the top of your head, is in complete alignment with the sky so we can absorb divine guidance and divine light. And as you're here, just drop your focus into your breath. And just inhale and exhale through your nose only. Make sure your feet are firmly placed on the ground, your palms face up, like I said, so we're open to receive. And as we do this, just imagine that there's white light flowing from the base of your body, from your base chakra, where your coccyx bone is. And imagine this gorgeous white light flowing like roots of a tree or white light directly into the earth as you're anchoring yourself and grounding yourself in this moment. It's only when we are truly anchored that we can open our energies and awareness to receiving intuitive insight, to receiving healing. Breathing in and out through your nose. And start to imagine there's a gorgeous white light now at the top of your head. Divine light, divine healing energy of abundance flowing into the top of your head, down your spine, down your arms into the palms of your hands, down your legs and out through the soles of your feet into the earth. And it's normal when you're doing this practice that your stomach might gurgle. You might feel a change in temperature in your body. You might not be able to visualize white light, but just keep connecting with your breath in this moment. This is your moment of awareness. And when you're ready, roll your eyes upwards and inwards towards your third eye, the space in between your eyebrows. And imagine that there's a golden yellow balloon right in front of your head. And this balloon is filled with sparkles of light, light that you have given away to others, light of compassion that you've shared with others, light of love, empathy, protection that you've given away to others. All of this light that you have once given away today or this week or even over the years. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to inhale, take a nice deep breath in. And as you do this, imagine this beautiful golden balloon bursting in reverse and all of this light starting to trickle into your body as you receive, receive, receive. So when you're ready, take a nice deep breath in through your nose and imagine this beautiful balloon bursting in reverse as you're absorbing all of the light that you've once given away. This is your light, your energy of love, abundance, compassion, empathy. And as you exhale, allow this light to surrender deep into your body. Allow it to fall back within you, finding its space, shining its light in areas that once were depleted. Shining its light in areas that once held ache or pain in your body, allow this light to be. Notice how your body feels. Notice the heat in your hands. Notice the change in your energy as you fill your cup up with the light of energy, love, compassion. And just take three deep breaths in this space as you repeat after me in your mind. I am worthy of love. I am light. I am abundant. And your last breath, exhale through your mouth. And start to bring your awareness back into your body as you wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Sinead, that was lovely.
Oh, thank you.
So what was that about then? What has happened to us after doing that meditation?
You've just come back to your body. You've opened up your awareness. You've opened up your senses and you've allowed your light to come back inside of you. Like I said, you are absorbing back in any compassion, empathy that we once gave away. We are allowing ourselves to lift our energies, to expand our energies as we connect with our own sense of love, compassion, empathy, and abundance. Because so often we give all this energy away, but it's so vital that we just hold space for a bit of mindfulness, a bit of meditation as we connect with our breath to bring us back to the present moment. So all we were doing is disconnecting from our head and coming right back into our heart space, into our intuition.
It's funny that you say that, like today, just about giving all of your energy away, because that's definitely how I felt for years, is that coming home from work empty because I had given everything away all day and then I had nothing left for me. So are you saying that if someone comes home they feel depleted, that they could do that little meditation and kind of fill up their tank again.
Absolutely. Of course, this is a technique that you can use anytime when you feel like you've given your energy away. And I love that point that you just made, as we remember that work should always be an extension of what you love and who you are. It's not who you are. It's an extension of you. Who you are is this sense of peace, sense of love, sense of fulfillment, the sense of inner knowing and anything that you desire. But work is just an extension of your passion, of your skill set. It's not who you are, and it should never define you. So as we remember that, we are able to reprioritize ourselves and put your needs first, your desires first, as we remember that work is just something you do. It's not who you are.
Sinead, if we're worried about someone, or we're living with someone who's getting into a negative headspace, or of course, the last year has taken such a toll on all of us. But if we're waking up and just not feeling energized, or there's someone in our house who's a little bit down, is there anything we can do to help them?
Hold space for them. There's sometimes I say to Sean, my fiance, that I just want you to just sit and listen. I don't need answers. I don't need guidance. I just want to be heard. And that's a lot of time when we feel like that. And I love to, I'm a huge advocate of sharing your vulnerabilities, because as you do this, you naturally start to hear the words that you're thinking and speaking. And I remember this, and I love this question, Georgie. I remember when I was living in London, and I had first set up my business, and I set up a business and I started studying CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. And oh my God, I wouldn't suggest doing that. That was one of the most stressful times of my life, setting up a business and studying full time. But anyway, but at the time, I just remember sitting in my garden in London, and it was my sanctuary at that time. And I sat in my garden and I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I was so unbelievably stressed because I was looking externally. And as you're studying CBT, or as you're studying anything, you tend to really really evaluate yourself and really start to analyze yourself as well. So there was a lot of healing going on with myself and with inside my own mindset, my energy, etc. But I sat in my garden and I started to talk out loud just to myself. At the time, well, I thought I was talking to angels, or I can't even remember if I even had that intention, but I was just talking out loud. And I started to write down everything I was thinking. And I realized that everything I was thinking, I didn't believe. And I mean everything. And I wrote lists and lists and lists of things. And it was just fear. It was my fear of the unknown, fear of where this was going, fear of this uncertainty. And it was just, I was living in an energy of fear, and so completely disconnected from my heart, so completely disconnected from my core values and what I truly, truly believed. And when I finally expressed that, I was able to go back. And I highlighted the facts, and I swear in about 20 pages, there were three things that I thought were real. The rest were all my imagination out of fear. So if we're going through that, or if we can see any of our family members, you can either offer just to hold space, not to share any guidance or give any of your thought process. Let them just speak, let them be heard, or even ask them to do this technique where they can just sit and write down everything that they're feeling and thinking, and ask them to go back over and highlight the facts. Highlight what's actually real here. And as you do, you're able then to start to see the difference between, as I spoke about before, the ego versus your intuition, because your intuition is always going to come from a place of love, security, knowing, and your ego will more than often or not come from a place of fear, doubt, uncertainty. So we need to start disconnecting from, understanding our fear, understanding where our head's at, and using that information so we can let it go and come back to our heart space. So if we are looking at any of our loved ones, like I said, just offer space. Or ask them to do this technique. They don't need to show you. It's just about honoring them in that moment and just reminding them with a little touch on the heart that you're always there to support them, and you'll always be there to help them, and that problems never need to be solved by one person. You can come together to solve the problem.
I think it's so true that a problem shared is a problem halved. And I think it's so powerful what you say there about writing down all of your thoughts and then actually looking to your thoughts and seeing, well, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That is like, you know, filing the thoughts in your brain. And surely you would just feel amazing after doing an exercise like that.
You really do. There's a course I'm running at the minute with Gorgeous Souls, and it's called Awaken Your Intuition. And it's a 5-week course that I run, and I call it From Fear to Freedom, because that's literally what we're doing. We're starting to distinguish, like I said, between your ego and intuition. So for the first 2 weeks, we're on week three at the minute. For the first 2 weeks, I really just challenge your limiting beliefs. I challenge your ego. I get you to challenge your self-doubt and challenge all of these belief systems that are not really yours. Because a lot of the time, if we really truly think about it, we are carrying belief systems from our ancestors, from our lineage, from our parents, whoever we were in the surroundings from growing up. We are like, as I said before, like Velcro, we're absorbing all of this information. So a lot of the time, we're not even really truly encompassing our own beliefs. We're encompassing the beliefs of others and the fears of others. So with this process, is the 2 weeks of really diving in deep with our fear and limiting beliefs and our core values and identifying what our core values are. And as you do this, you can start to recognize when you're being triggered by another, when you're being triggered by another person's action or being triggered by your own insecurities, so that you can start to come back to a sense of your intuition, knowing that you can step into freedom, like I said, from fear to freedom. When you can step into your freedom energy as you elevate and realize that you are not your mind, you're not your thoughts, you are peace and love. That's your natural nature, is peace and love. But it's just the conditioning that we have growing up in society, or the conditioning of our parents or of our lineage, of our ancestor lineage, that has conditioned us to believe a certain way where it's not in complete alignment with ourselves.
And this question, I don't know if this is kind of the same type of question, but just for people who may feel, and I think a lot of people will feel stuck at the moment, because it's almost like we have frozen in time. And there may have not been a lot of progression in the last year. People just might wake up every day and just be just so sick of these times. So when people come to you and they say, I feel stuck, I'm in freeze mode, what is your advice to them?
There's an analogy that I use all the time with this. And this is one of the main reasons why people come to me, is because they feel stuck. And all I'm going to say is, think of yourself like a caterpillar. Just bear with me for a second. This is a good analogy, I promise. But think of yourself like a caterpillar, right? We've gotten to this stage as a caterpillar that we've absorbed so much information. And like I said earlier on, we're constantly being bombarded with information. And there's a phrase that I use where too many messages kill the message. And that can sometimes be the case with social media, with the news, with press, with everything that's going on. And we're like caterpillars absorbing all of this information. So you've taken your insight and you're taking the insight of others. But when we feel stuck in a rut, we're not necessarily stuck. This is the beauty of it. We actually go into hibernation. And I want to just change perspectives here, because when we feel stuck, it's our time to reevaluate. Like a butterfly goes into a cocoon and it looks like it's still for a long period of time. But actually, it's in that stillness that butterfly changes its form. It grows wings. It physically changes form and it becomes the beautiful butterfly that it is. So when you feel stuck in a rut, I want you to start thinking of yourself like this beautiful caterpillar in transition of finding its wings, because this element of being stuck is your time of hibernation to reevaluate what A is important to you, B what you desire, and C where it is you want to go, and treat your life like a beautiful blank canvas that you can be the creator of anything that you desire. So when you feel stuck, change your perspective. You're not. It's your time to be creative. It's your time to reevaluate and tap into what it is that's important to you and where it is you want to go.
Yeah, that's lovely, Sinead. I love the way you look at that. What's the rest of the year looking like for you? What are you excited about? Obviously, we're excited to move on from COVID. And do you have anything planned for when this is all over?
Oh, there's so many plans. I'm so excited for what's to come. So I was meant to be on a retreat actually next week in Portugal, but with COVID and everything, we've had to postpone. So I'm actually hosting a retreat with the gorgeous Celine Doyle, who's a beautiful yoga instructor. And we are hosting it in Creek and Wellness Center in September. And it's a 5-day retreat. And then I've got a few things coming up where there's day retreats, mini retreats with Druids Glen, one of the gorgeous hotels I collaborate with. And I also have a new deck of oracle cards coming out very shortly in the next few weeks.
Ooh,
it's all about manifesting. This is the first time I've admitted it, what's happening, but they're a manifesting deck. So helping you truly align with your heart and what it is you desire to support you. And there are so many things coming up. I have different workshops, different courses, Yeah, there's an array. And I'm getting married. Sorry, that's a bigger thing. We're married in 4 months' time.
And Sinead, that is so exciting. You've got so much going on. I love your angel cards. I look at them all the time. When you say that you're doing a manifesting deck, and I think manifesting, you know, some people, you can take it or leave it, you know, and people are starting to get more intrigued by it. The power of manifestation. Just tell us a little bit about that before you go.
Manifesting is truly aligning with your heart's desires. There's a lot of talk of manifesting, and I always find there's different stages to manifesting, and that is simply connecting with what you want, defining what it is that you want. Defining what it is that you want, but also surrendering and letting go. And what I mean by that is you can define what you want, but don't try and control or manipulate the outcome. It's surrendering and letting it go. Because when we control or manipulate the outcome, we live in an energy of ego. But when we completely surrender to manifesting what it is that we desire, we surrender to our highest good. We surrender to the angels and we surrender to magic. So when we want something, when we are ready for that, it will happen on divine timing as well. So that's an awareness that we need to remember. But also with manifesting as well, the shadow energy or shadow self will come through. And that's kind of a side of us that we like to suppress and let go. And this is a stage of manifesting, which is not really talked about that I can see. But it's a phrase that's so important, because when we're ready for something, whether we're calling in a baby or calling in a new home or a partner or a new career, whatever it is, we can sometimes become impatient because we want it now. Here now, and that's it. That's all we want. But the lesson is to surrender and let it go. Again, it's about the ego. Stop trying to control the outcome and just stay in alignment as you visualize the highest good. That's another technique in manifesting, is to visualize the highest good for all. Keep visualizing that energy, because the more you visualize, you step into a true energy of light. And when you feel or think or create that energy in your mind, you're radiating that energy out from your body. And when you radiate that energy out from your body, you align, you intertwine your energy with the energies of the universe. You intertwine what you desire with the energies of the universe, and then so it becomes that. So I always say, when you're trying to manifest, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Because when you're focusing on things not happening, you step into an energy of lack. And that is complete opposite to what life is. There's so much abundance. So there are so many different avenues to manifesting. But the reason I wanted to create this deck, I got the download, the intuitive download to create them, and they were created within, I kid you not even an hour it took to create them. They're so fun. But it reminds you of all the different stages of defining what it is that you want, believing that it can happen, being worthy of your dreams, acting like you already have it. So if you want something, you act like it's already happened, because it has. That's how time works. Yes. And then you recognize that you're not your thoughts, you're not your limiting beliefs, you are completely abundant and in flow, and coming back with the energy of visualization and connecting with that energy. And that is what's going to align you with all that you desire.
Nice. I love what you say there about you are worthy of your thoughts. Because, you know, I suppose if someone has a dream, you know, I want to set up my own business, or I want to be happy, I want to be present, there's could be a little voice in the back of your head saying, what are you talking about? That's never going to happen. Or, you know, come back down to earth. That will never happen to you. So to be worthy of your thoughts is a great place to be.
Exactly. Well, we often think, like, as you said, what are you doing? You can't have that. Come back down. That's sometimes being afraid of the success, or being afraid of how powerful you can truly be. Or going back to the one and only, well, not one and only, but one key phrase that I come with in a limiting belief time and time again, is that you're not good enough, or you're not worthy of that. But you are. Oh my God, you are. For anyone listening to these words, you are worthy of everything that you desire. You are enough in everything that you are now. And it's so important to start connecting with that abundance, because it's so free flowing for you. And I would love for you, my wish is for you to start truly believing in your worthiness of your dreams, because it's a dream for a reason. It's inside of your mind and your energy for a reason. It was planted in there for a reason. And it's time for you to act upon it and make it your reality. And you can start with simply knowing that you are worthy of them.
Oh, what a gorgeous place to start. First step should be that you are worthy of it. I'm going to leave it there, Sinead. That was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I absolutely love that. I know we could talk forever more, but it was so beautiful. Thank you so much, my love.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Good Glow Health, brought to you with thanks to ReproMed. If you did enjoy this episode, please leave me a review. It would mean so much. And I will be back with another episode in just a couple of days. So I'll talk to you then.